Beware, you're being haunted by a storm of spoilers. This week's podcast is rated Pod MA for mature content, TMI for excessive information about American Horror Story, UGH for violence against plotting, and L for language, as per usual. Maybe it's all connected, and maybe it's not. Hey, look over there! Is that a pig man or a podcast? Welcome to A Storm of Spoilers off-season tour. Things are getting spooky around here in the fall, assuming you're not listening to this in back catalog, which is, you're right, because this is the podcast that is usually about Game of Thrones. But in our off-season, we are taking a tour of various pop culture locales. My name is Dave Gonzalez, and my favorite season of American Horror Story is the second, Asylum.
I'm Joanna Robinson. My favorite season of American Horror Story is the original season that has been dubbed by fans Murder House.
And I'm Neil Miller, and I'm pretty confused right now because when you guys said we were going to be talking about a hit FX show, I watched all of Atlanta, and so this is a little awkward. But I have not watched any of American Horror Story until this current season, so I guess by default, this is my favorite season of American Horror Story.
I just want to say something for our listeners really quickly. I mean, we're going to talk about a lot of Game of Thrones stuff in a bit, so this is not just going to be American Horror Story, but you could not think of better circumstances for an American Horror Story podcast than the fact that Dave Gonzalez is immensely sleep deprived and jacked up on caffeine, and that's when all the best horror stuff happens. So,
oh yeah, and I love American Horror Story. I've been watching it since the premiere, and I work in reality television, yep, which is going to come into play later on in this episode. But that's all spoilerishy stuff, including details from season 7 and the secret season that Ryan Murphy's let slip this week. He was one of the creators of the show. If you have no idea what American Horror Story is, that's fine. We're going to get you there, but first, we have to stop for our triangle of meta. First, I referenced this is a podcast that's usually about Game of Thrones. We did that previously. And then we turned to Joanna, who has a little quarter of reviews that we came up with a really cool name for. I forgot.
I'm going to read it. Like, seriously, Dave, you're cracking me up in every way today. Okay. I will read this review. It's a lovely 5-star review. Storm O Spoilin. By Ray, R. Cazell, 5 stars on iTunes. I've listened to the podcast almost since it started, brought to it through Joanna and Cast of Kings by her take on Game of Thrones. Was delighted to then get introduced to Dave and Neil and to the expertise and eagerness they bring to the podcast. 5 stars for being consistently captivating, even if it's a property I haven't seen. One small critique. As the off-season tour and the topics have expanded, the podcast has lost a little bit of thematic coherence for me, bleeding into territory covered by Fighting the War Room, Thought Bubble, Station Agents, etc. I have loved going into other properties like Hamilton and Harry Potter, but maybe a little more tightness over genres covered or more consistency in the format of the show. Just a thought, but keep up the great work, y'all. I can't wait for the next episode. Okay, so my comment on this review is, if you're looking for tightness, coherence, or consistency in this episode, I'm not sure due to the fact that someone has had a lot of Red Bull. But, you know, that's an interesting note. And I too, sometimes get annoyed when I listen to a bunch of different podcasts and they all talk about the same thing. So thanks for that feedback.
Great, yes. And I think we'll take it and build on it. And I think a lot of these early off-season tour pop culture whatnots are going to end up serving for basis for deeper dives in the future. Yes, this is good podcasting right here. This is excellent.
Words.
But point being, we can come back to something that's more television based, or we're definitely going back to the world of Harry Potter for Fantastic Beasts later on. So hopefully this, you know, ends up, you know, knitting a fantastic tapestry
of pop culture criticism. But if not, we'll definitely have my crappy transitions like this one to Neil, who's going to start talking about Game of Thrones.
Well, so I've unpacked a bunch of Ravens this week. There are a couple Game of Thrones related, and there are a couple real world related. We'll start with the real world related. I'm not going to say that again. That's just not working for pronunciation. Anyway, as you guys probably noted, there are now very fine, only mildly awkward advertisements in our episodes. Our new podcast network, Wondery, who are fantastic, are taking a survey. We're still trying to find out more about our audience. So if you go to wondery.com/survey, it's wondery.com/survey. Fill that out if you haven't filled it out already. We have a lot of responses. A lot of responses so far. Thank you very much for participating. That is extremely helpful in getting you guys ads that are relevant to you. Cool. The other thing is we want to mention again, Con of Thrones. If you go to conofthrones.com, we announced last week, right? Last week?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. we will be at Con of Thrones. It is the end of June next year in Nashville, Tennessee. At what we described pretty accurately as Hillbilly Disneyland in Opera.
Yes.
So that's going to be great. We're going to be doing a live show there, but it's not like a live show where you could just buy a ticket a week in advance. You should probably start planning now if you want to go.
I also confirmed last week with the organizers. I'm helping organize this thing, which means we pretty much get to do whatever we want, but I always like to get the official go-ahead. And I just confirmed with them that I think it was Neil's idea that we do karaoke night is a go. So there's going to be a Storm of Spoilers karaoke night at this convention with my preferred theme, which is the country Westeros theme. So
what are you guys doing to me?
One of our listeners said that she was going to dress as Ollie Parton, which is the funniest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. So I dare any of you to come up with a costume that's better than Ollie Parton. All
right. Check back next week. I will have like 10.
You'll have a better pun? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. Anyway, back to Game of Thrones. Off to the fictional land of Westeros, where we do have people manning the Citadel of Crazy Town and sending ravens out to our boat in this fictionalized travel analogy. We have some news from many sources. Many people are saying that
you won all the debates.
It's huge.
It's huge.
All of them.
So, this news is bigly huge.
There actually
guys.
Is some huge news from the Game of Thrones set. The first thing is, you know, if you don't, we are not affiliated with them, but we support the folks at WatchersOnTheWall.com because they have a lot of really great set photography that they've been publishing over the last couple weeks. And my I haven't had a chance to really dig into it because I've been busy, but my takeaway is that Game of Thrones is filming in a lot of beautiful places and a lot of new places. So we might get new looks at different cities. We might get different areas. I would imagine we're going to explore more of the outskirts of King's Landing, maybe get a little Dragonstone. So I would check them out. All kinds of good stuff. But the most important thing is casting related. Now, this is something that I am sort of nervous about talking about because it feels like it's big for fans. So if you are someone who is sensitive to production spoilers and wants to sort of try and keep the surprise, which is going to be very difficult because this is already starting to be all over, I would skip ahead maybe 30 seconds here, because we are about to talk about something that is going to be very big for a lot of you.
Well, let's say, hey, here,
yeah.
hit pause, check your show notes.
Oh, yeah, do that.
There'll be a little time when we start talking about American Horror Story. This is our last Game of Thrones, but it's big, and people are going to talk about it, and we are starting with spoilers. So here we go.
All right, so the big news, and this, as I was informed before we started recording, is not a surprise that this person is there, because Joe Dempsey was spotted at the airport around the set a few weeks ago. But there is a new set video that shows an altercation. So there's a couple characters traveling together. It appears to be Tyrion and Davos. And they roll up in a boat and they are approached by some gold cloaks, which sounds like King's Landing. There is a scuffle and someone shows up to save them with a warhammer, and it's effing Gendry. So this is...
Baratheon Warhammer!
This is huge for two reasons. One, the Baratheon Warhammer, the weapon of his father. And I guess we get to find out what happened to Gendry, which is crazy, right?
Yeah.
Well, with that much rowing, that's how he could lift the Warhammer now. He was already kind of strong, but now he's like ripped in the upper body.
It's so funny because when the... So video went up on Watch as Well today, but I believe the images from the scene were up last week, and a lot of people thought it looked like Dragonstone, and they're like, did Gendry just, like, never leave? Why is he back at Dragonstone? But with the gold cloaks there, I think we think it's the shores of King's Landing, right? Like, that seems more likely, mm-hmm. Because they're city guard. So, we're going to have some King's Landing altercation. Gendry being there and the Warhammer is so huge and exciting, but, like, it's bearing the lead of the fact that Davos and Tyrion... I mean, not bearing the lead. It's like, overshadowing the other great news, which is that Davos and Tyrion, our two characters who have not spent any time together, are going to be together. We always like when Game of Thrones sort of pairs up two favorites in a new way. And as Watchers on the Wall mentioned in their write-up yesterday, it might be something of an awkward interaction because, of course, Tyrion is the strategist who put all the wildfire out at the Battle of the Blackwater that blew Davos' son to smithereens. Mm-hmm. So that's a thing. Like, we think of them as two good guys who will probably like each other because they probably will be united in their hatred of Cersei or whatever. But, you know, there's some backstory there. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I have 1,000 questions from just, like, one photo of this.
Yeah.
Which is, where exactly are they? And why Gendry? Why? Just why? How much of this... how did they get to... Yeah, this is confusing. It's very confusing. Like, yeah, does Jon Snow send Davos as an envoy to King's Landing or something?
Right, to treat with Daenerys, maybe? And Daenerys, like, hooks him up with Tyrion, like, her main advisor and Jon's main advisor, because they are, you know, the right-hand men, so...
Theory developing. Red alert.
Ready for it.
Maybe Daenerys lands, as we sort of expect her to land somewhere not at King's Landing, like, you would want to land and kind of group up somewhere. Maybe she goes back to her place of birth, Dragonstone, and Jon Snow hears about Daenerys, and they send Davos to treat with her because he knows Dragonstone, and he's kind of his right-hand man. And that also would play into, if you get Davos out of the equation in the north, kind of makes the Jon Snow Littlefinger Sansa dynamic a little bit more interesting because it's less friends on the side of Jon Snow.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know why they would be going to King's Landing, but maybe they're just going to try and do some ninja stuff at King's Landing, or go find, I don't know, is there like an ally inside King's Landing? Maybe they try to get to Jaime?
Or maybe they went to get Gendry because he is the bastard son of Robert Baratheon? I don't know. That seems anytime I feel like I bring up a plot that is kind of complicated, I have to remind myself that they only have 7 episodes this season, you know? So, like, a lot has to happen just to get Davos and Tyrion to, like, they've met, they've hopefully figured out their Blackwater shit, or they never talk about it. That is also a possibility for this HBO adaptation. It never comes up that Tyrion is responsible for the death of Davos' son. Or they talk about it, like, 5 episodes later, a la Melisandre and Davos last season. So this has to be later in the season. I'm so excited. I can't wait to see Gendry. I must say, if you haven't seen the photo of Joe Dempsey at the Belfast airport, like, the photo is just him and he's got, like, his hood up and he's obviously trying to duck the, like, paparazzi, and you feel bad for spreading the photo around because he was clearly trying to go in incognito and he got caught. But then someone photoshopped an oar under his arm, and it was like the best thing I've ever seen. So, yeah. Anyway, Gendry's back.
Gendry's back.
And I don't know if we talked about this last week, but Maisie Williams, photos of Maisie Williams. Oh, we did talk about this, right? About her in northern gear.
Yeah, looking very
and
northern.
It looks, mm-hmm. Yeah, and it looks like she was filming possibly with Lyanna Mormont, possibly.
Oh my God.
So, yes. Yeah, it would be the best. So here we go.
Yeah, great. So lots of good stuff from Game of Thrones. Can't wait for that to come back eventually.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
I feel an ad coming on.
I'm ready.
Welcome back, guys. We're here to talk about American Horror Story, the anthology series from Ryan Murphy and Brad Falchuk and probably a lot more other producers that I'm forgetting off the top of my head. But it's an anthology series. It, as its title says, riffs on a lot of American horror. When it first hit the scene with Murder House in 2011, I was struck by how they show riffed so directly on horror movie themes, like to the point of having like a bouncing red ball come down the stairs, a la The Changeling. It sort of wore its references on its sleeve. There was some murderous nurses that stabbed somebody to death, and the psycho strings played. It seemed like they were throwing everything against the wall to see what stuck, and it was going to be crazy. American Horror Story Murder House eventually revealed that a lot of its characters had been dead for periods of time without knowing it, and that the ghosts that died in the house were kept in the house, and very quickly things got crazy before Ryan Murphy stepped out and said, this is an anthology series. So for me, even though I said that Asylum is my favorite season, which it is because I think it has the most intense horror and just craziness for craziness sake that manages to wrap up in a neat package, which I don't think all the seasons necessarily do. The first season's sweet spot for me and maybe my favorite time watching American Horror Story is when I realize some of the main characters are dead and I don't know that season two is going to have completely different characters. Other than that, I've sort of jumped on for at least the first 4 to 6 episodes of American Horror Story every year. I did not finish Hotel until it came out on Netflix. Mm. And Coven I let pile up about once it took its like mid-season hiatus. I watched the back half later on. But for some reason, I watched Freak Show, even though it had trouble wrapping itself up and deciding what it was going to be about after its sensational murder clown was taken out of the picture. And instead, we were left with, I don't know, a whole bunch of ideas of what it meant to be a freak and fatherhood that didn't really pan out. American Horror Story, I think, is better when it's dealing with minority groups, even if in broad ways I find it more interesting than when they deal with more traditional things like, I don't know, boring suburbia or, you know, the plight of the rich sociopath. This season, however, was a huge mystery until it was revealed what the sixth season's theme was going to be. The reason this episode is late into your theme is because after the first 6 episodes of watching a reenactment true crime documentary called My Roanoke Nightmare, the show has pivoted to become a found footage horror movie about a reality series sequel season to the not serialized My Roanoke Nightmare.
Yeah.
That will end in, we're told, 3 more episodes with everybody but one member of this crew being dead. And this crew is not only people who've been behind the scenes for the first 6 episodes, but the actors who are giving testimonials, who are quote-unquote real in this fictional world, and the twice-removed actors of the reenactment who are playing characters, and we sort of got to just meet their real quote-unquote real characters for the first time this week. It was a lot, and I would
Sarah Paulson's British accent.
Yes, or bringing back Evan Peters for two. In each episode Evan Peters has showed up to in this season, he's died the same episode he showed up. Both versions of him. Very weird. Neil, this is your first experience with American Horror Story, so maybe you weren't ready for just the amount of craziness or for some of the, broad horror tropes. What did you think digesting the first six in the twist?
Like any great magazine, I have issues.
Oh, yeah.
And, so there's a lot of that going on. I guess here's the thing. I've actually been a fan of Ryan Murphy's other stuff. So, like, I liked Glee for the first couple of years that I watched an American Crime Story. Great. But there's something to this American Horror Story that feels very much like Nip Tuck, where it's like, it's this trauma porn, basically. And I think I'm just not into it. Some people are, but I'm not. And it's funny because you say stuff like, all the craziness, and what I see is him just throwing random horror, seemingly random at times, horror ideas at the wall to see what's going to stick, which sounds like that's where they started, and that's sort of what this season feels like. It's funny, I texted Joanna, or messaged Joanna, like halfway through the first episode. I'm like, is this supposed to be funny? Because it's funny. Like, it's dumb funny. And I am not here to retract that. It's funny. Like, it's goofy. Almost a parody of the things that it's trying to, pay homage to. So, yeah, it feels really random. I guess the one thing that stuck out at me was, like, the episode 5, I think, thing where the creature from The Ring shows up and grabs the little girl, as far as I could tell. Which felt very out of place for this world that they built, that is like all about this house and the house's history and the lost colony. And there's a good bit of mythology at work here. And then it just sort of goes off the rails, and now it's a found footage thing, which is fine. I think I was hoping for, as I was into like episodes 3, 4, and 5, I was like, this has to take a turn somewhere. I knew there was a twist, quote unquote twist coming. I was like, this needs to go in a different direction, because if it's just more of this house and this like reenactment mock documentary style thing, it's not working for me. Like, I'm not interested in this. So that's where I'm at with American Horror Story, my own personal Roanoke nightmare.
Joanna, some of those really odd inconsistencies in season 6 have been throwbacks to previous seasons of American Horror Story. So that's maybe where it's someone like you, who's been tracking all these things for Vanity Fair, has had a different perspective on it. Does that make it a better perspective? Tell us.
I think it's very, like, yeah, this season, Murphy and Felchick are doing a weird thing where they're self-referencing their own previous seasons. So each of the first 5 episodes referenced each of the first 5 seasons. And so to Neil, he's just like, what the crap is going on? And that's true of most seasons of American Horror Story. But it's sort of like even more disjointed this year because, you know, murderous nurses show up because murderous nurses show up. You know, like it's a thing. So they're doing like the greatest hits of previous American Horror Story seasons in this particular season. I love the first season, Murder House, the best because it's anchored more on character. You've got Connie Britton, Dylan McDermott, Tysa Farmiga as this family that moves into this haunted house. Jessica Lange is their next door neighbor. Evan Peters in his best role. Evan Peters is like a highlight of any season of American Horror Story, in my opinion, but Evan Peters is his best role as this like Tumblr bait emo like goth ghost kid, dreamboat, trashy piece of fan fiction ever. Like, it's just, it's the most playing to my worst instincts, and it works. Tate Langdon is a huge hit from American Horror Story. And it's just, but it seems so anchored in those people. And as the craziness happens around them, you all come back to this family and you're like either rooting for them to succeed or not. And as American Horror Story went forward and became more enamored of this, like, focusing on theme of, you know, witchcraft or asylum or, you know, coven asylum or a freak show, et cetera. I think it got, more and more disjointed. One of the pleasures going forward, though, like, Dylan McDermott is the de facto lead of season one of American Horror Story. And he's kind of this, like, really shitty, if you want to talk about Nip Tuck, he's this, like, really shitty white guy character that Ryan Murphy can do really well, but I'm not really interested in seeing. But of course, American Horror Story has since become very famous for being, like, this amazing sort of kabuki showcase for these tremendous actresses, like Kathy Bates, Jessica Lange, Angela Bassett, Sarah Paulson. Like, we wouldn't have Sarah Paulson in American Crime Story if we hadn't had the last few seasons of American Horror Story. Like, it's become this bit of operatic theater for these women, and the women have just become and stayed the focus, I think, of, you know, you'll have your Finn Wittrocks and Matt Bomers and, what's his name? Zachary Quinto. Like, they'll show up, but it's really like the women that have become the central, you know, characters of these seasons. And that's, I think it's a really cool thing that Ryan Murphy has done. They're always at all the award shows. You'll see these actresses nominated for their work on the show just because he gives them so much scenery to chew. Something I have one last point to make, and then I'll stop talking. Something that, I really liked Murder House, but in each subsequent season, my interest tends to drop off about 6 episodes into the season, and they used to do a longer, I think it was, what, 12 episode or 13 episode season, that would start in October and end in January. And then there would always be this break, and the premise would just, like, fall to pieces. And this got worse and worse as the years went on. I also didn't finish Hotel.
Yeah, well, that was only 2 through 5. So 1 went straight through.
Okay.
And it had its break before Halloween, so it kind of had some steam. But yeah,
yeah,
2 through 5.
2 through 5, just like a disaster with this break and all of this. And so what I do like about this season is that they moved the premiere back up to September. They cut the runtime down to 10 episodes. So we're going to be done with this at, like, I think November, right? Yeah, early November, mid-November. And so that's a great fix. I think that's a self-aware fix that Ryan Murphy did. And I don't often credit Ryan Murphy for being self-aware. So yeah, so that's what I'll say. This season, I don't know, like, I guess I think the main problem with this season is, you know, mostly people were silent, but Cuba Gooding Jr., Sarah Paulson, and Ryan Murphy all gave these interviews where they're like, the twist is bonkers and episode 6 gonna blow your mind. Oh my God. I'm like, well, cool. Nothing on this God's green earth is ever gonna live up to what you guys have promised. And then the twist came, which was what 95% of people predicted the twist was going to be, which is that we were just going to, like, go behind the scenes and, like, meet the actors playing the characters and all that sort of stuff. And I'm just sort of like, okay. And now we're doing found footage, which means there's a lot of shaky cam, which Joanna doesn't like. So the end. I will say, though, if you go to VanityFair.com today or any day, I did an interview with Angela Bassett, who made her directorial debut with episode 6. And she said something that I thought was interesting. I mean, I guess it's a no duh thing, but, that the actors are doing all the iPhone filming. So, that makes sense for the, when the iPhones turn on the actor and they're doing, like, the Blair Witch up the nose, like, confessional thing. But all the iPhone footage that we're going to see going forward, which she says is just, it's going to get more and more iPhone footage, is the actors themselves holding the cameras. So.
Well, then I return to what I tweeted when I started watching the first episode and realizing what it was, which is Blair Witch has got to be pissed that all their thunder is going to come in American Horror Story without knowing that there was a Blair Witch sequel. So it's nobody's fault.
Right.
This is what happens when you keep secrets. But is going to go in and do exactly what the Blair Witch sequel tried to do, which is whittle this found footage down until you're all first person as an attempt to amp up horror. It kind of worked for me in the new Blair Witch. It didn't work for a lot of audiences, but I'm interested to see them try that. And I think that this, not only cutting down the overall season, but structuring the season as like three little stories. So they've also teased in interviews that 10's going to kind of be its own thing.
Right.
And people are theorizing that's going to be the one that finally throws, you know, the hooks into the other season and says this is a unified mythology of some sort. That's nice, because then, you know, last week is probably the most bored I'm going to get with this season, because I knew the twist was coming in episode 6, and 5 is just the end of a story with no end. And so, like, they did okay because it was semi-climactic in terms of the reenactment, but I think that's as bored as I'm going to get watching this season, because up through now, they've, like, this season's trope in terms of being a horror movie is the, like, explain yourself ghost story. So, like, something crazy happens, we spend 30 minutes with somebody explaining what's, why it happened and the history of it, and maybe we get to see it, and then, you know, the payoff and somebody dies when it happens again, which is standard for a horror television show, but because they've resegmented it down, it's a lot more like Murder House, where it's like I could, you know, tune in one week and see a crazy murd story and then like forget about it and think it's a one-off, and then it could come back in season 6 or episode 6 with the R. And it's not that I don't see it coming, it's just it doesn't feel as cheap as like Pigman being in this episode after being in, you know,
season one. Well, I don't know. As soon as Evan Peters' character Rory, like his name Rory, I'm like, okay, well, there's our character we've been waiting for. But like, I guess what saved episode 5 for me, which is what you said you thought was the most boring option, was Evan Peters. Like, I'm sorry, like it's not true every season. Like, I didn't like him in Freak Show or whatever, but like his, you know, deranged colonial ghost. And his, like, dude bro, I mean, maybe this is, like, my hormones talking or whatever, but I, you know, we like Evan Peters, he's Quicksilver, we love Evan Peters, and so, like, I just think he's a bright spark in these past two episodes. I hate Sarah Paulson's British accent, it's terrible, and it's, like, embarrassing to me that we spent, you know, 3/4 of this year praising Sarah Paulson as, like, the best performance of the year on television and how amazing she was, and that's all true, and then she has to do American Horror Story with a crap British accent, and Andre Holland, what are you doing in American Horror Story? Okay, I'm done. I don't know.
Neil, is there anything from this season in a mythology sense that has sort of intrigued you, or is it all just sort of white noise after white noise?
Well, yeah, I mean, a little bit. So I guess it makes more sense now that you guys explain that these are callbacks to the original seasons, although I don't know if I see that with only my tangential knowledge. I feel like we could spend the rest of the podcast with you guys just explaining to me what the hell from each of those episodes had anything to do with the original seasons.
Well, you see, Neil, in episode 5, they go stay in a hotel, and season 5 is American Horror Story Hotel.
Oh, really? Like, that's it?
That was the worst one, but like...
that's the whole thread.
Well, wasn't it also the Evan Peters cut through the sheet that was covering him in the bed?
Yeah.
Like, the things that came out of the bed?
In hotel.
It's like,
yeah.
It's really... slight. They could have been doing a better job so you didn't notice it, but they have it.
But like the
so
piggy man, the piggy man, or the ghost nurses.
The nurses was the only one that kind of made sense to me, because I was like, oh, they did do like a hospital thing before.
Or the Freak Show. Well, they literally did 2 ghost nurses in season 1, Murder House. Evan Peters' character in episode 5 is the ancestor of Finn Whitrock's character in season 4. So the Motts from Freak Show. So it's it's like, yeah, and I, you know, I spent a lot of time on American Horror Story Reddit, because they have to write all these like posts about theories, and everyone else is much smarter about American Horror Story than I am. But like, I saw a lot of fans complaining that they just... It was in, I think it was season for Freak Show that Ryan Murphy decided all these universes were connected and started trying to weave them together. Whereas the original concept was these are discrete anthology seasons that have nothing to do with each other. So then he started to wedge in these like stupid crossovers, you know, like Sarah Paulson's character from season one shows up in season five, even though Sarah Paulson's already playing a different character in season five. And it doesn't make any fucking sense. But Ryan Murphy's like, but it all has to be connected. And I'm like, that's right, buddy. I think that's not.
Ryan Murphy's got the fever, the expanded universe fever. Yes. That's going around town. Yes. I will say this. I didn't really enjoy the first five episodes, other than, I guess, the fact that
Doris Kearns Goodwin cameo.
The Doris Kearns Goodwin thing is so weird.
It's so weird.
At first I was like, wait, is that actually Doris Kearns Goodwin? And sure enough. I guess I will continue watching, even though I don't have to. Like, I could, now that we are recording this podcast, I could stop and not watch any more of this season. But I feel pot committed, at least, to the point where, you know, like anyone who's watched the first four or five episodes of a season of The Bachelor needs to find out if their prediction is right. So what I need to do now is just make a prediction. Who's going to be the one left alive? And see if it comes true.
I think that's a good... So what is that prediction? And then I'm going to ask Joanna for a different prediction.
Oh, okay.
But I want to hear your lone survivor.
So we got to try and think about who's going to end up the survivor of this. Because they say everybody dies except for one person. Rory is already dead. Now, the question is, are the existing ghosts going to kill people? Like is it going to be one of those things where they work backwards and say, okay, the nurses were one of the storylines we've set up, so they have to kill someone, and then we'll get the I think the husband's going to come back and he's going to kill either Lee or Angela Bassett's character out of confusion. Although, here's another question. This is not related to my prediction, but when Kathy Bates' character, the butcher lady, shows up, is it going to be an actual different person? Like when the real butcher shows up?
I don't think so.
See, you'd lose me with that. It's like, okay, so Kathy Bates played the butcher.
Yeah.
But when the real ghost shows up, that should be a different person. Like, it
that's what they've been doing. Like, right. The burnt guy playing Mason is a different guy.
Oh, really?
And the two actresses playing the nurses were different actresses than who we saw in the reenactment playing the nurses.
Okay.
You can't tell the difference between two Piggy Mans. I'll give you that much. we saw a different Priscilla. She was older, like on the hillside in the distance. And then if Kathy Bates shows up playing the butcher, like I think some people are guessing that Agnes is like possessed by the butcher. So that would be why Kathy Bates would be the butcher. But if we get the real butcher, like a lot of people are predicting that Finn Wittrock is going to play the ghost that Evan Peters played, because he's the descendant. Finn Wittrock played the descendant of that ghost. And so if we see the real butcher, I don't believe it will be Kathy Bates.
What other famous actress could they be bringing in to play the real butcher?
I don't know. I think, yeah, I don't know. We know that Tysa Farmiga is showing up, but you really can't get much different from Kathy Bates than Tysa Farmiga.
That's true.
I want to hear Neil's prediction because I have my prediction.
Okay, so I'm still sort of thinking this out. So at some point somebody's going to get butchered. So I don't think that it's going to be any of the real people. I think it's going to be one of the actors. My guess is that it's going to be Cuba Gooding Jr.'s character. Because all these stories are connected, and he has to eventually stand trial for the murder of Nicole Brown Simpson. That's the best I can do. I feel like, but I also would not put it past this show to, like, in the next episode, tell us who didn't die.
My prediction, well, I know Dave, you wanted me to predict something else, but my prediction about who's going to survive is actually close to yours, Neil, because I actually believe it's Andre Holland's character, Matt, who's going to survive, because...
He's the only one taking it seriously?
Well, we didn't... I believe he has alternate motivations for being there. He's one of the only ones we didn't see, beforehand, them getting him there. They didn't even talk about it. It's like, why would he go there if he knew his ex-wife was going to be there? Why would Matt go back there? Right?
Right.
Lee, Shelby has a motivation because she wants to get back together with Matt. Lee has a motivation because she wants to clear her name or, whatever it is. But why would the real Matt go back to this house where he knows that there are ghosts and that sort of thing? And so the clever boots at Reddit pointed out that, when last we saw Matt, in the reenactment, Matt says in the reenactment that he would have gone with Lady Gaga's witch if he had had the chance. And so a lot of people think he's back because he wants to find the Witch of the Woods and bone her somewhere because she is so enchanting. and his fascination with her is the reason why he was so distant from Shelby when they came back and all this other thing. And so maybe he actually is back there to serve all these people up to the ghosts in service of the witch and that sort of thing. So the theory, I think, is a good theory. The theory is Andre Holland's Matt is going to survive, and we think he's a hero. Right? He's kind of one of the most sympathetic people there, we think. But if he has these ulterior motives because he's under Lady Gaga's thrall or whoever is going to play the actual Witch of the Woods, then, that's my... It's a speculation.
That's awesome.
Wild speculation.
I like that. I will now continue watching this show to find out if that's right.
Okay, great.
Well, before everybody had good theories, I was going to say that it's going to be Kathy Bates' character because she is the butcher, so she survives.
In terms of an actor playing the actual character, a lot of people are also wondering if... I know I'm saying many people are saying Trump, but this is just because I want to credit the Reddit people, but I don't know their names. So, the exotically named people of Reddit are wondering if maybe Lady Gaga is actually, because, Ryan Murphy said that her character is the original Supreme.
Yes. From Scat Hatch.
Wait, right. What?
Okay, so
that is the name of her character.
It's spelled differently. I'm sure that that's right. I'm just saying it's not spelled Scat Hatch, so it might be pronounced that way though. But
I've never heard it pronounced, but right. Something I keep wanting to call her Scrat Rat.
it's Scrat Rat. Neil, in season 3 Coven, Supreme is the most powerful witch currently living. And it's passed down. And so season 3 Coven is all about these various witches sort of scrapping over who's going to be the next Supreme. Is that accurate, Dave?
That's pretty accurate.
So Lady Gaga's character is the original, that all these witches are sort of descended from, basically, is what Ryan Murphy said in an interview this week. But I really don't think that he would put that much importance on that character if it's not going to be Lady Gaga forever. So I feel like if we're going to see one character who's...
Wait. No. Okay.
If we're going to see one character who is both this played by the same actor in the reenactment and in the reality show, I predict it's Lady Gaga.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
No. You go ahead. Go ahead.
This comes to the question I was going to ask you to predict, which I'm going to have to answer first now to explain what I'm talking about, which is, what do you think episode 10 is? Which for me, it's remainder person's there and Jessica Lange walks out of the woods as witch.
Oh, God, that would be so good. But I feel like I've read a lot of things that Jessica Lange is emphatically not coming back. But it would be...
That's what I want to happen, and that's would connect it all the way back beyond the Lady Gaga. Because if you do the anchor thing where you anchor it in Lady Gaga, forever the show is going to be pre and post Lady Gaga, which is not... You don't want to have people tune into Hotel thinking it's the beginning of something.
I think... I think Ryan Murphy is more enamored of Lady Gaga than you are. That's what I think. So I think he wouldn't mind making her like the a central or like the connective tissue of these seasons and that sort of thing.
Hmm. So what do you think is going to happen in the 10th episode?
Well, they said it's almost its own thing. So like, okay, so it's episodes 6 through 9. So in episode 6, we saw the setup for Return to Roanoke, 3 days in Hell. Then I think 7, 8, 9 are the 3 days in Hell, even though Hell has technically already started. Evan Peters is dead, but 7, 8, 9 is 3 days in Hell. And then episode 10, I think they're away. Like, maybe that's the big reveal is, like, Matt survives and he, like, pretends to be the innocent and he comes back and go ahead.
Oh, you mean you, like, we're going to do a whole character study? I was thinking back to Asylum, which sort of took the last episode as its own thing, where we were looking back. We jumped ahead in time to see Lana face her child that she tried to abort years ago. And so, like, if it's something like that, we could spend, like you're saying, so a lot of time in a character study of Matt, like a slow reveal of madness. Or it could be something really stupid, like they tear up the foundation and move it to Murder House.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are wondering if episode 10 is going to be some kind of, like, very overt Murder House thing.
Because this house is so much like Murder House.
Yeah, I like the idea of spending an entire episode with Andre Holland because, like, I really am wondering what he's doing there. And I feel like Ryan Murphy must have promised him something really good because thus far he's just, like, sat there and sort of blankly told a story to the camera, right? And then in this, and then this episode was kind of subdued. So I feel like he's just, like, our low-key stealth whatever. And then Andre Holland, since he's such a talented actor, if you haven't seen The Nick or the film Moonlight, or I'm sure a million other things he's in. You know, like, I'd like to believe that they're saving him for something very cool. So I hope episode 10 is something very cool with him. If it's him and Jessica Lange, if Andre Holland has, like, sold out all these people to chase the well-preserved ass of Jessica Lange, then that sounds great.
Well, I mean, you know how you get away with the American Horror Story shoot with Jessica Lange is make it she's only with one actor that you would never expect to be in American Horror Story.
Mm.
So knock on wood for that one.
That'd be cool.
But yeah, I'm interested to see if they could...
It could be Thaisa Farmiga. Like, she could be the original Supreme. So she was in the Coven season as well. And we don't know who she's playing, but we know she's coming back, and we know from IMDb she has a stunt double. So something exciting.
Oh, hey. I mean, we were told to treat this season where we're always, they're always hitting the gas on the expectations for this season, even though they didn't need to after season 6, episode 1, I don't think. But, like, so scared of Hotel for whatever reason that this one's really pushing us the, like, through PR. It's like, you're not going to believe the twist. And now they're like, in 10, it's going to bring it all together. And Ryan Murphy's like, the next season's, we're going to be really open about it, but there's also going to be a secret season. And we're also going to go back to Coven. Is there, like,
I like to believe that there's only going to be 10 seasons of American Horror Story. For some reason, I like to believe that.
Okay.
And he said we're going back to Freak Show. I think he said that. Or the Motts. We're going to, like, even spend even more time with the Motts. I don't know why he's so obsessed with them, but whatever. And then Coven. And then there's the secret season, which maybe might be the Slender Man thing that you've been, like, hoping for, Dave. And then
that's what I hope. Slender Man mystery season.
And then one more after that. So that's what I'm hoping we get. So tell us why the mystery season is a Slender Man thing.
Tell us why the mystery season is a Slender Man season?
Yeah, why you think?
Because assuming that he has been writing it with a secret partner for a period of time, there were, like, rumors flying when everybody's trying to probe into season 6 that I think has something to do with the fact that they're not going to do that for season 7, because otherwise it seems like it was a pretty good marketing strategy. There were all these rumors that there was going to be some sort of... Go ahead.
Yeah, he said emphatically not. They're never doing it again.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
But like, why do you know? Do we know why?
Why they're never keeping the theme a secret again?
Yeah.
No.
Because didn't it like did okay ratings wise? People are
I think it was
watching
it was a huge smart move. But I actually think you can't replicate it again because people didn't figure out until like a month and a half before the premiere that it was kind of crazy that they hadn't announced the theme. So I think they got away with it this year, and I don't think they would get away with it next year. Like, it's like Game of Thrones and The Walking Dead, it's increasingly hard for them to keep things secret. I feel like if again, you know, cause the premium on those secrets, like via TMZ, would be so high for next season, knowing how much interest there was around the season.
What if they already shot the mystery season?
I think that's what he said, or they've already shot part of it, or they shot it concurrently with.
Like, I feel like this is like one. He's trying to drop something like Beyonce drops albums. Like in a couple of months, all of a sudden there's just going to be another American Horror Story out of nowhere.
Like, I think he did.
Well, if they're really smart. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Joanna.
I think he has threatened to have a summertime American Horror Story. So.
But he's doing more crime story too, right?
Yeah.
There's Feud. Three. He's got Scream Queens, American Crime Story, Katrina, and then he's got Feud, which is the Jessica Lange season surrendered. Maybe he shot his Jessica Lange scenes while he was shooting. Wait, is she not in it? She's in it, right? Yeah, Jessica Lange and Susan Sarandon and Sarah Paulson and Catherine Zeta-Jones is Ryan Murphy's new show. So how many shows can one man have?
Maybe it's all
in production
front.
Concurrently.
I would love that. Is like that's how I want a Lost sequel series to happen. Is like 22 episodes into a new series, have the Dharma Corporation show up. Just like, you know, give us some time to care about something else. Which is the problem with American Horror Story deciding to switch from anthology to non-anthology is, why should I care about a greater picture when everything about this series is more enjoyable if I take it every 5 minutes at a time?
Yeah.
Excellent point, Dave.
I think there are really great points. Yeah, I agree. I think Ryan Murphy is doing large picture what he does every season, which it falls apart around six. I mean, his like the ideas are so good, his actors are so good, some of the style is so good, you know, like you want to root for the show, the fandom is rabid, but I just don't understand how anyone can like watch all of Hotel and be like, yep, start to finish, that was a good season of television. Like, that was a crazy season of television. So I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm not even sure what that was season was ultimately about. Sorry, go ahead, Neil.
I mean, I honestly think it just is on its own as a season of television, American Horror Story season 6 has the potential to be a good season of television. It's just going to have to close in a really interesting way. I think it's funny that I've watched kind of a binge watch these first 6 episodes alongside starting to watch Black Mirror, because you're sort of reminded of another situation with Black Mirror, which we're going to talk about at length in a later episode, but how you start a lot of those episodes for like 30 minutes being like, what the fuck am I watching? And then everything unravels and it closes up nice and neat and is really fascinating. So American Horror Story could be that. I'm just not 100% sure they can close the deal, but we'll see.
I'll say, I think Murder House aside, I don't think they've ever closed the deal on a season of American Horror Story.
Shots fired.
I challenge you with Asylum. There are like two weird episodes of Asylum.
Why are there aliens in Asylum?
I mean, have you ever talked to Matt Patches? He thinks everything's alien, so it doesn't surprise me that the second season...
He's the aliens guy.
Yeah, let me give you a taste. There's aliens, there's Ian McShane playing a serial killer Santa, and there's...
Get to it.
Anne Frank.
Yes.
Interesting twist. Anne Frank, eh?
Franca Potente is Anne Frank. Like, what?
Wait, the the actress from High Fidelity?
No, she's not in High Fidelity. She's Run Lola Run, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay, sorry.
Yes, she's Run Lola Run.
Yeah, she looks like the actress from High Fidelity. But yeah, yeah. Run Lola Run, a.k.a. Jason Bourne's One True Love, is Anne Frank in American Horror Story Asylum.
Like in I Am I Anne Frank Part 1 and Part 2.
Like Anne Frank all grown up?
Yeah, like what if Anne Frank didn't die and she's in America?
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't Anne Frank die as a kid?
Oh yeah, she died as a kid. Or did she?
This show's so
weird,
guys.
Or is this woman crazy? Or what?
I mean, yeah. All of that's possible, I guess.
I loved that shit, because that's crazy. I'll watch that for 2 weeks, and did watch that for 2 weeks. But then, like, that was a good enough diversion. Murder Santa was a good enough diversion. Joseph Fiennes dropped the ball on his episode.
Oh, yeah. I forgot, even Joseph Fiennes was in that season. Zachary Quinto, like, wanting to, like, breastfeed? Yeah.
What?
Like, yeah. No, I mean, the Zachary Quinto breastfeeding one isn't so bad, because they spend a lot of time on his character. It's the Dylan McDermott returning breastfeeding need that it gets really weird, because he, like, pays a prostitute to do it. That's the other bad episode. So, Spilt Milk, Origins of Monstrosity, throw those out of season two. The rest of it I really like.
So should I be expecting...
Aliens and Francis Conroy, Angel of Death included.
At some point, is Zachary Quinto and Dylan McDermott going to show up in this season?
No, they're rare. They're like early season guys. The later season guys who are the square-jawed brunette type that Ryan Murphy likes are Finn Wittrock and Matt Ballmer. They're going to show up.
And Wes Bentley? Well, Wes Bentley's already been.
Wes Bentley and his tremendous accent has already graced our screens this season.
I mean, accents all around, because I love Kathy Bates, for real. But whatever that accent's supposed to be, not doing it.
Oh, but it's way better than the Baltimore accent she did in season 4.
Oh, yes. I didn't see that one.
It's famously terrible. She plays a bearded lady in season 4 Freak Show with a Baltimore accent that is apparently authentic. But, like, you know, it's like John Travolta in Hairspray or whatever. But
So what we need is her and Aidan Gillen to do a Baltimore cop show together as partners.
Yeah.
That'll be season 8. American Horror Story.
Here are the three things I'm most grateful for that American Horror Story has given us. Number one, the Jessica Lange renaissance. You know, greatness. Number two, boosting the Sarah Paulson signal, right? Because she's around, but, like, you know, this really boosted her.
She's amazing.
On a certain audience, she's incredible. Not necessarily incredible in this show, but she's incredible. And then number three, introducing us to Evan Peters. This is where Evan Peters got to start. I maintain that he is the best modern X-Men that we have. I would like to see more for him. Dave, what are you grateful for American Horror Story? Is it Anne Frank?
I'm grateful that, okay, so, like, this is going to veer into that one of those weird Storm of Spoilers personal story moments. But my friends and I, when Netflix was, like, first a thing, would mostly use it to skip around and show each other our favorite parts of cheesy horror movies. And this feels like that. Murder House, you're right. I cared about Coach's wife because Friday Night Lights had just ended.
Yeah.
And I was sad that her husband had cheated on her. And, you know, all of that. And then, you know, Tate ended up being the Columbine killer, which, as somebody living in Colorado, was interesting to me. And I got to, like, sort of anchor to. And it ended with weird Christmas, everybody dies. Spoilers. But otherwise, I'm just sort of in it for the Russian roulette of crazy horror tropes. Because the horror genre in general doesn't have a ton of fresh ideas. It just has good execution of you know, rehashes for the most part. Even if something that you see that's, like, you think is the first time, it hasn't. There aren't any new stories. So seeing American Horror Story, like, just, you know, pull the trigger until they make sure all the chambers are empty, occasionally pops up something that is good enough to be, you know, Wednesday television for me. But I don't think I would ever give it any narrative awards for any sort of storytelling, but I would give it the award for, you know, most consistently not giving a fuck about
trying to figure out what your show is. Like everything else, every other television show is like, what are our core principles? What are our core dynamics? How do we turn that into plot? This show, every season's like, fuck it, just blank slate. Who are actors we like? And I think there's a place for that type of show on television.
Hmm. I really.
I'm sorry. Well, what a terrible pause. I liked what you said. Sorry.
I only really have
one. I was like,
one...
maybe it's the delay.
I only really have one thing that I'm thankful for is that us doing this American Horror Story episode forced me to watch American Horror Story, which prevented me from doing the other thing on my list, which was somehow get caught up on The Walking Dead, which I there's nothing I dread more than having to go back and watch the middle seasons of The Walking Dead. So that's really a good thing in the end. The rest of it, I'm not so sure about just yet, okay? This might have been a terrible idea, but we'll see how it ends, really. If they close the deal, then I'll be like, okay, fine. And maybe I'll go back and revisit like the Murder House season or something. But, you know, otherwise American Horror Story will be banished again to the margins of my life. So there's that.
Give him just enough smack to keep him coming back with American Horror Story.
All right.
I feel like that's a pretty definite period, unless for some reason this season ends and blows everything up, and you know we got to come back next year and talk about it. But this isn't the end of Spooky Halloween season,
woo,
is it, Neil?
It is.
What are we doing next
week? We're getting into what we could call a dark period for Storm of Spoilers. We got American Horror Story that we just talked about. Thanks for making it all the way through that. And next week we're doing a very Storm of Spoilers Halloween, a special episode where we're going to talk Halloween, although I will endeavor to make that more fun than it sounds by talking at length about Hocus Pocus. And then...
Amok, 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 amok,
amok. And then the following week we're going to do Black Mirror, as I teased earlier, which is out on Netflix this week. In fact, probably the same day that you're listening to this, if you're listening to it immediately. So watch Black Mirror in preparation for not next week, but the week after. And that should be very, very fun because it's one of my favorite things ever.
Here's my insider tip. If you want to start with the best episode, start with Nosedive. It doesn't matter what order you watch them in. So Nosedive, directed by Joe Wright, starring Bryce Dallas Howard. Friggin' fantastic. So that's my recommendation.
Nice.
And that's from the new season. You could also check out the old season because Black Mirror is just great.
Yeah. And if you want to see, I haven't finished the new season yet, but of the old seasons, the Christmas special with John Hamm has to be my favorite single episode.
My favorite is the Toby Kebbell sort of memory.
Ooh, that's another good one. They're really,
memory one.
They're all good. Although
I feel like there's usually one bad one.
Yeah.
Like in the previous seasons, it was three episodes per season, right? So I feel like there would be like two really, really good ones and one bad one. And I feel like the average stays with this six episode season that there are two really, really good ones and then like four sort of, you know?
Yep.
I don't know.
Cool.
Well, but horror wise, we know Neil's going to talk about Hocus Pocus. Joanna, do you happen to have something off the top of your head that people should spend a week looking into?
Wow, I was not prepared.
You're not packed for Halloween town
yet?
Oh,
I know what I'll do. It's anything we want to do Halloween related.
Yeah.
The Halloween episodes of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Boom.
Ooh.
The best episodes of the series. It's the series often. No, they did a good job with their Halloween episodes.
The challenge, I think, that I was experiencing today is finding a movie that's kind of like the Die Hard equivalent, where it's like a movie that's set on Halloween, but it's not really about Halloween.
Yeah.
Just like Die Hard is a Christmas movie. But I don't know if those exist. I can't think of one.
Oh, that's going to be my choice. Halloween opens the window for Over the Garden Wall.
Oh,
you guys haven't checked that out.
Nice.
Is that a spoiler?
That doesn't have to be spooky, but it's great.
No, it's not a spoiler. Never mind. No, it's a spoiler.
No, it's a, they have autumn festivals, and oh, well, it's a spoiler now that you said it was a spoiler.
Never mind.
I just said open the window. People would have had to tune in to figure out why. Now you have to watch Over the Garden Wall before next week, listeners. Blame Joanna. But until then, where can we find more of our wonderful writing? Neil Miller, please go first.
You can find me on filmschoolrejects.com. We have a huge announcement next week, so stay tuned. I will also tweet about this huge announcement on @rejects, which is my Twitter account. You can also find our show on Twitter @StormOfSpoilers. Get us on iTunes, where you can subscribe to us and leave us fine reviews. And then we had a couple questions this week about on Twitter about Stitcher and where we went on Stitcher. When we changed over to our new platform, Stitcher was lost to us. Like
Scatrat took it. Scatrat.
Scatrat.
She took it. She absconded with our Stitcher. Right. Our Stitcher Scratrat.
So, but now that we found Gendry's boat, we found our Stitcher information again. That's right. All the way. Full circle. So within the next couple days from when this episode posts, we should be back on Stitcher for all of you Android users.
And I listened to Stitcher for a long time on my Apple product.
Oh, actually. Apparently it's a very popular one for Android folks because they don't get iTunes.
Well, the iTunes podcast app sucks.
Yeah, no, definitely use Overcast.
Yeah, I use... Downcast, I think. Or no, Pocket Cast? I don't know. Something that's not Overcast.
Something
anyway.
That ends with cast.
It just says cast on my phone, but I don't remember what the first part is. Okay. For me, if you want to know about me, you can hear me talking about HBO's Westworld on a new podcast I'm doing called Decoding Westworld. You can find my writing on vanityfair.com. You can listen to me talk about Oscar movies and Little Gold Men, or you can follow me on Twitter @JoeWroteThis.
And I'm Dave Gonzalez. I regularly use 5 different podcasting apps to test how they all different work. And I'm on Twitter @DA7E. Let's see, this week at Thrillist, I have the real history of the Ouija board, which ends up being about spiritualism and women before it's about the occult, which ends up being kind of cool. America, you crazy with magical things. And you can find the rest of my blogging at geek.com and podcast at Fighting in the War Room. You can find all our back episodes. You can stream them now. They're going to have some ads, but that's fine. We love you. You love us. We'll see you next week.
Boys and girls of every age, wouldn't you like to see something strange?